Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Power Hour. I'm Wes Gardner, your host, as usual. It's Friday morning, really early. I kind of promised yesterday on Twitter that the show would be up on Thursday, but I have a good reason. I have a good reason that the show's just like a few days late, trust me. And I'm going to tell you all about it in this episode. I'm super excited. You should be too. We're going to start off with some questions. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to be talking about a ton of video games. It's something that sometimes I'll go weeks without really playing anything. But then for some reason this past week and a half, I have been binging on some games. And I'm really excited to tell you what they are. Got some impressions of some certain games that aren't out yet, that are in open beta. I'm going to tell you if you should play it, if you shouldn't. It's going to be a lot of fun, just everything I've been kind of going through. And I have a new gaming device. Can't wait to tell you guys all about this goodness. But let's start it off with some questions. I'll do the, questions from Anonymous first. The first question will be, what are your thoughts on Warlords of Draenor? With WoW's sub numbers declining, will it be enough to bring back interest? Warlords of Draenor is the announced new expansion pack for World of Warcraft. It's coming out sometime this year. I know BlizzCon's in November. Odds are pretty good. They'll probably give us a release date at BlizzCon. Hell, it might release not at BlizzCon, but maybe like 2 or 3 weeks later. So, I mean, we usually see like December, like early December launch dates, so we could probably expect that same thing. WoW sub numbers have been declining. I think for a while there, they were kind of stuck right around the 8 million mark, then it kind of dropped to 7.8 million. And apparently, Bobby Kotick just did a conference call, probably, 2 days ago maybe? And said that WoW's numbers are down to 7.6 million. So you're seeing little cuts here and there of subscription numbers. Do I think the Warlords of Draenor will be enough to bring it back, or to bring back interest? It depends on what you mean. I don't think we're ever going to see World of Warcraft hit like the 12 million again. I don't think that's feasible. With how good the free MMOs are now, the free-to-play, and to be quite honest, with the abundance of games like League of Legends, Dota 2, Heroes of New Earth, there's just a different genre that's kind of taken hold of the same demographic. You see a lot of overlap with MMO players and players that like the persistence of something like a Dota or a League of Legends. So we'll never see the 12 million, but do I think it'll creep it back up past the 8 million mark? Maybe. I think so. I know I'm not subbed to WoW right now, because there's nothing to do. I mean, there's tons to do in World of Warcraft, don't get me wrong, and I still have, God, I think out of all the achievement points in World of Warcraft, I only have like 16%, and I've been playing since launch day in 2004. So, big game. You know, huge game, a lot of stuff to do, but I'm not a big PvP guy, I'm not a big raid person. I'll do dungeons every once in a while, but there's just not a lot for me to do. Right now, it's all raid content that they're adding in patches. So I would have stuff to do, but $15 a month just to kind of do a dungeon every now and then? No, I have other games to fill that kind of need right now, and they're free. So I'm waiting for Warlords. I'm definitely getting it. I'm definitely going to get it on release day. I'll be playing it on release day. I'm excited. They're going to up the level cap to 100. I get a free level 90 out of the deal. So, I already have one level 90 character, but now I can bring up one of my alts that's like level 15 all the way up to 90 immediately. It'll be a lot of fun. But, hell, I'm interested, and the lore is another thing. The lore is actually going back to kind of old-school Warcraft, and this is, you know, Warcraft 2 era. This is after the war between Lothar and Durotan, which is some old nerd stuff for you guys out there. And that's what they're basing the World of Warcraft, or not the World of Warcraft movie, but the Warcraft movie on. And, but they're bringing the Warlords of Draenor, they're going back to Draenor, you're talking about Garrosh Hellscream, you're going back to see all of the Warlords of the old Horde. Just good stuff, like meaty lore, just to get back into it. After Mist of Pandaria, it's kind of a nice change of pace. Don't get me wrong, I loved Mist of Pandaria. I did. I thought it was refreshing, to kind of have a happy zone in a place where people weren't so downtrodden all the time. And it was really interesting content. It was kind of a neat avenue to do some things like that. Different, you know, raids, different quest lines, definitely, that were very persistent and very big and open in this brand new world of Pandaria. And the pandas are cool. But yeah, Warlords of Draenor is adding a bunch of stuff too. They're revamping every character model in the game. So that's a reason for me to buy it right now, is I want to see how my character looks, because I have it ingrained in my head, right? From 2004, we're talking 10 years. I know exactly how this motherfucker looks. So whenever they're going to update it, high def, hair looks like hair, you know, things like, I'm interested to see what the remake is going to do. Like, the revamp visuals, pretty exciting. Not going to lie. Probably going to geek out, take a bunch of pictures, put them on Twitter. So look forward to that later this year. But yeah, I think it'll bring it back up, but we're never going to see the 12 million days again. It's just not going to happen. Unless WoW goes free to play, which it won't. Sadly, I would love it to. God, I would love it to, but it won't. See, Anonymous might be the same Anonymous, might be a different Anonymous. Ask this one. Unlimited budget. What is your dream wrestling event card? The only catch is you can only use current wrestlers, and there's no mix and match. Oh, man. So, here's the thing. With mix and match, I don't know kind of what you mean. I don't know if you mean you can't mix and match federations, because that really limits. But you could also mean mix and match as far as, like, you can't bring back people from the dead. Like, you can't do CM Punk versus Macho Man Randy Savage. You know, as rad as that would be. I'm going to go the latter, just because I want to keep my options open. God, your dream wrestling event card. I think opening match should be Dolph Ziggler versus Sami Zayn. I think that'd be a good one. I'm actually excited for those guys to kind of rumble a little bit right now. And Sami Zayn, if you don't know, was El Generico in Ring of Honor. But super fucking good. Like, he's in NXT right now, and he's lighting that place on fire. Let's see. I would probably do Samoa Joe versus who would Samoa Joe go against? Oh, man. Because here's the thing. I'm tempted to do, like, Samoa Joe versus, like, Kevin Steen. But those are two strong men. Those are brawler types. You know, they know how to wrestle. But I think two of the same type, sometimes those matches don't go as well as it could. You know what I mean? So, God, Samoa Joe. Let's say Samoa Joe versus Xavier Woods. Yeah, Samoa Joe versus Xavier Woods. Austin Aries versus let's do Austin Aries versus Yoshitatsu. Yoshitatsu's a guy that is incredible in the ring. One of the best in the nation. And he's never on TV. He's never at house shows. He's always at the NXT Developmental Center. Like, he's a guy that didn't need developmental when he came in. You know what I mean? He could have just overpassed it. Because, sure, WWE's a different animal. But, man, Yoshitatsu's good. But yeah, get him and Austin Aries in the ring. I'd like to see that match. Let's do Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Roode. Be a good one. Let's see. I know the main event already is Daniel Bryan versus Kenta. Kenta's actually rumored to be coming to WWE again. I know I've kind of mentioned this on a past Power Hour, but now it looks a lot more feasible. I think, let's see, today's the 9th. Yesterday was Kenta's last official match with Pro Wrestling Noah, and I think what he's doing now is on May 17th, it's his farewell tour, which just means it's going to be his kind of retirement night. And he's going to do one final match, from what I understand, and then saying goodbye. But yeah, apparently he got picked up by WWE. Going to be doing the developmental thing. I'm excited about that. Also, I'm kind of nervous about that because I don't want them to change Kenta too much. Kenta could be... Kenta, if you've never seen a Kenta match before, do yourself a favor. Look on YouTube. Do like Kenta highlights. Just all capital letters is how his name is. Because there's also another Kenta, Kenta Kobashi, who's a legend, but he doesn't wrestle anymore. And Kenta Kobashi versus Samoa Joe is one of the best matches on the planet, by the way. But Kenta is a literal 50-50 split of Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, which is funny because Daniel Bryan and CM Punk took moves from Kenta, the go to sleep, the yes lock. Well, it's actually the LaBelle lock. So it's from an old wrestler, but Kenta uses it and it's called the game over. Let's see, the running high knee is one of Kenta's signatures. The flurry that both Daniel Bryan and CM Punk do with the kicks, punches, things like that. The chest kicks, a lot of suplexes, a lot of locks and holds. Just Kenta's the real deal. And I would love to see a main event. Why not for the belt? Yeah, Kenta versus Daniel Bryan. Let's see. And you know what? I'm going to do... So the main event's Daniel Bryan versus Kenta. The opening match for the main event... Let's get Kurt Angle in there. Kurt Angle's still got it. I know he has a lot of neck problems. Let's do Kurt Angle versus... You know what? Let's do Kurt Angle versus Triple H. Triple H has kind of been on a roll lately. So let's do it. I know they had some great rivalries back during the SmackDown days. They actually fucking wrestled. Kurt brings out the wrestler in Triple H, which is always good to see. You know, anyone trained by, Harley Race is going to be a good wrestler. But, Triple H just fits his character so well that no wonder he does 5 moves. But yeah, that's a decent little card, right? I'd watch that pay-per-view. But thanks for the question. I could go on and on and on all day, and I know I missed a ton of people. Zack Ryder, Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd, a bunch of guys from TNA, Christopher Daniels, missing a lot of people. But hey, okay, every other wrestler is going to be in a Battle Royale. There you go. Solved. Problem solved. A 4,000-man Battle Royale. Perfect. This pay-per-view will be 7 weeks long. So, oh man. But yeah, thank you for those questions. Let me bring up Twitter right here. I've got some good ones for Twitter. Bring this up. But yeah, man. Oh, I've been playing so many games. I just want to put that out there. Been playing a ton of games. Man, oh man. Let's see. All right. Looks like we had Anonymous. And then the rest are coming from good friend Marco Flores, who I'm also going to give a shout-out to next segment for helping me out. But let's read off some of these. Marco Flores asks, there's a lot of mid-card wrestlers now. Who deserves a push to the next level? Man, oh man. There's a lot of guys that deserve a push. But I think it's more of... I think WWE, in particular, needs to embrace its mid-card. Because you have a lot of... A perfect example is Kane. Kane's not a mid-carder. He's an A-player. Because he's in every match. You know what I mean? Like, there's never a week where Kane's not on TV. So... And he's been that way since he came in. Since Kane's been introduced, there hasn't been a time. So he's an A-lister. But he's put like a mid-carder, which is really disheartening, and it's really kind of confusing. Because, okay, where does Zack Ryder fit? There is a genuine mid-carder. And they've pushed Dolph to the mid-card, which is unfortunate. Now that Cesaro's got his thing going on, I'm afraid Jack Swagger's going to mid-card. They need to bring in... They need to make the Intercontinental Championship kind of the cruiserweight division. Or something like that. Kind of have that energy about it. To where the Intercontinental title has its own subsect of guys. Like 10, 15 guys that are all about the fucking Intercontinental belt. You know what I mean? Because there can only be one WWE World Heavyweight Champ. Have those be the A-listers. But then have your Intercontinental, your US belt, even your tag division, kind of get all of those other guys into there. Make the Intercontinental belt be the most important thing on the planet to them. And you're going to see a lot of improvement. You're going to see a lot of guys. I mentioned Yoshitatsu earlier. And people like that, man. That's what I'm worried about Kenta going in. Because Kenta's going to, he's going to have to work his way from the ground level, which is fine. We've seen it happen with Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan was brought into WWE in 2009 or 10. So, 4 fucking years. I don't want to wait that long to see Kenta get good. You know, Kenta's already that good. He is literally one of the best, if not the best in the world. So, we need that mid-card. We need that mid-card going. But as far as guys who deserve it, Tyson Kidd is back. He's back from injury. Let's let him shine a little bit. He is the warhorse. He's the guy. I mean, I see him, if Daniel Bryan set the standard for, you know, smaller guys this generation, I know Eddie did it back in the day, Shawn Michaels, of course, but if Daniel Bryan is this generation, small guy who made it to the top, then Tyson Kidd should be the next big thing. Pun intended, I guess. But yeah, I think with mid-card, I think they need to push mid-card. Not necessarily the wrestlers, but the actual dynamic of mid-card. But awesome question. Let's see, another one from Marco Flores. Are you about that Broforce life? Broforce looks incredible, for those that don't know. It was actually a game made by NeoGaffers. Just saying, let's make the silliest platformer you can find. But it's fantastic. Broforce is so much fun. It's addictive. The levels are really short. It kind of has a Super Meat Boy vibe. Very pixelated graphics, but unlimited characters. And they're all puns. Like Rambro. And it looks like Rambo. You know, just great stuff. With Bro in the name, like Abraham Lincoln. And yeah, just awesome. But, you know, amazing weapons, every shot feels really, you know, every weapon feels really good, really meaty. You know, amazing screen shake whenever you're exploding stuff, like if you have dynamite and you set it, the screen just goes wild. Just awesome stuff, and you can get it on Steam. I don't know if they have like a DRM-free version or GOG or anything, I haven't checked that, but it's definitely on Steam right now, and go buy it. It's so rad. It's so much fun. Let's see. Yeah. And last one for Marco Flores. Last minute question. What are your thoughts on training with weighted vests? So, for those that don't know, weighted vests are exactly what it sounds like. You can buy different vests that are weighted 5-10 pounds, put some additional weight evenly distributed throughout your upper body and your core. There's some vests that you can actually put free weights in. Not the plate, or yeah, the plates, but you can't put like a 45-pound plate in it unless it's like a backpack, you know what I mean? But then it would just change your center of gravity too much. I wouldn't recommend it. But a weighted vest, I do recommend it. It's going to add a little bit, especially if you're doing like calisthenics, just body weight exercises and body weight movements. You're doing your pull-ups, your sit-ups, your push-ups, dips especially. Even if you're doing, I know, Marco, you do with loop kicks, you do martial arts training, you do tricking, things like that. Weighted vest could be kind of good for that, too. It would just be a little something extra, you know what I mean? But if you're looking to get bigger, like as far as just full-blown muscle mass goes, a weighted vest, honestly, not going to do a lot. That's where stuff like your weighted belt are going to come into play. So your dips, for instance, it looks like a weightlifter's belt, but it has a chain in the middle with a hook, and then you can hook on 45-pound plates. You can do something. So you can add mass amounts of weight to your body whenever you're doing your body weight movements, your pull-ups, your dips, things like that. So that's where you're going to see a lot of your size gains, but you're going to see a lot of endurance gains with training with a lighter weighted vest, like a 5 or 10 pound weighted vest. So I definitely recommend it. If you're at the point now to where you need a little something extra in your step, I say go for it, man. Just really good stuff all the way around. But yeah, as far as like muscle mass and size, and I want to get bigger and buffer and things, that you'll need more weight. You'll need, you know, your compound movements, your squats, your deadlifts, your, you know, just fucking heavy ass lifts. But yeah, cardio, things like that, even running, wear a weighted vest. Go for it. You'd be surprised at how much more tired you'll be. But yeah, great questions. Great, great questions. That's it for questions. Thank you guys so much for them. A lot of cool stuff. Got to talk MMOs, got to talk some wrestling, some training, just good stuff. It's power hour trifecta right there. You got MMOs, wrestling, and weight training. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a very quick break. We're going to come back. Got all sorts of games to talk about. I'm looking at them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games to talk about. Woo. Some of them in great detail. So get yourself a snack. Get yourself a drink. I'll be right back. We're going to be talking some video games, man. I'm excited. Come back.
I'm a motherfucking move. Everybody know
it. All right, guys, welcome back. Segment number 2, just nothing but video games. So excited. It's been a while. Like I said earlier, it's been a while since I've kind of just gone all out and played me a ton of games. But that's what I've been doing, man. Probably 2 to 3 hours a day, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for me, with a daughter, with girlfriend, with doing freelance stuff, with that's a lot. Especially lately. I mean, there's some days I'll play even more than that, but that's whenever, you know, days that I don't have stuff to do, thankfully. But yeah, let's start with this. There's WildStar. It's an MMO right now. It's an open beta. Open beta started yesterday. It's going through the 18th, and it's hyped up to be not necessarily a WoW killer, but something in the vein of, if you liked World of Warcraft, here's something that actually fits the bill in every single way. It has battlegrounds, arena, ranked PvP out of the gate, in-game raids, like 10 in-game raids, progression guilds already. But it has player housing. It's a brand new fiction, so it's a whole new world for everybody. Just, it's an NCSoft game made by Carbine Entertainment, or Carbine Interactive, and a lot of hype around it. So I was very interested. You know how I am with my MMOs, man. I love me some MMOs. If something's big and hyped and things like that, I want to see it for myself. With the open beta, I played it about 3 to 4 hours yesterday. I'm only maybe level 6. And WildStar so far is interesting. The world reminds me a lot of Jak and Daxter. If I were to point at any one gaming franchise, it would be Jak and Daxter. The visuals kind of have that, I'll say cartoony, but, colorful. I'll say vibrant look. It kind of has that from World of Warcraft as well. But it really just rings true for Jak and Daxter for some reason. I just look at it and that's really, and even like Ratchet and Clank, you know, those kind of mascot-based platformers and action-adventure games. The game itself, it's early. You know, it is open beta, beta being a key word. I know their launch is actually coming up pretty quick. But it's a brand new MMO. I'll put it that way. Some of the UI is a little off. The text is super effing small. And I only have like a 26-inch monitor. Or 26-inch. I have a 24-inch monitor. And, you know, it's kind of, I have to like squint down at things sometimes. And you know, it's true, I have corrective lenses. You know, I have contacts in. But I'm not that blind. Like, I have my contacts in. Like, they're not out. So the text is really small. Little things, like, just things I guess I have to get used to, because it's just different enough to be off, not off-putting, but just kind of disorienting. Because it's so much like every other MMO in so many ways that the things where it's different are kind of like, oh, well, the health bar doesn't normally go there. You know, just things you have to kind of readjust to. There's a certain vernacular that WildStar has that the other MMOs don't. So that could be partly me. But the quests are very much go talk to this person, collect 10 of these, then talk to this person, and then you'll unlock this thing. I will say that they have something really cool, and they kind of got it from, I guess, the Guild Wars 2, which is different guilds, depending on what kind of guild you want to join, and you do this at the character creator. And these guilds are like, right now, I'm in the Explorers Guild. So this unlocks specific missions for me, specifically as an explorer, and I can get to places other characters can't. So there will be certain parts of dungeons that unlock only for me, which is rad. Like, I really love that idea. And engineers, they have certain quest structure things that only they can do. So let's say you're in a big dungeon and you need to unlock a certain door. Well, the engineer could have an instance part of the dungeon to where they go do something, while me, the explorer, goes and finds the trap door or the lock and key that's hidden somewhere. You know, everyone has their own separate thing to do, but it's still working as a team. And that's really cool. That's pretty provocative. You know, that's pushing the envelope. And I like that. That's a lot of fun. But then the rest of the quest structure is so, help me find this, help me do this, help me do that. Oh, stand here and do this, collect 10 of these. Which is fine, but we have games like that. You know, we have Lord of the Rings Online, we have World of Warcraft. But then we have games that don't do that. You know, we have the Dungeons & Dragons Online, we have the Guild Wars 2. So, it's interesting that they took that approach. Actually playing the game, this is where, once again, it could be just me getting used to it. Actually playing the game is not very fun. The world's great, the ambience is nice, the animation's fun, the world's a neat place to be in, but nothing has hooked me yet. The way you do spells is sort of skill shot. Think of a League of Legends. Like, you have to actually aim your spells, which is cool. I like that. But it's also, it's kind of this weird medium of you're aiming your spells, but your spells have such a long cooldown sometimes that it's basically just a masked way to do turn-based fighting. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everything's kind of it's all in real time and things like that, but something feels off. I don't know if you've seen any videos, but whenever the videos don't quite do it justice, of course, but whenever you're playing it, for some reason, things feel a little clunky. I did pick the Berserker, I think it's called, which is basically a ranger, or they're called a shadow or something like that. They have big Wolverine claws, that much I know. And yeah, you aim your skill shots, fights end in a few seconds, so you have a lot of power. I only have about 6 spells right now, so I can do a lot, but just something feels off. I don't know what it is. Like I said, it could be early, it could still be in beta. It's not fair to really just write it completely off, but as of right now, my impressions of it, will I buy it and pay month to month for this? No. It's unfortunate to say. It does have a lot of promise. There's a ton of stuff to do. It's not lacking in content at all. Player housing. All the in-game stuff is apparently there. Nobody's there yet. But all the raids are there waiting for people. You know, PvP, ranked arenas, leaderboards. Like, they got the whole thing figured out. So this is a fully fledged MMO. If you're looking for something different, something full-fledged, something open out the get-go, customizable, a brand new world, this fits the bill. But for me, as I was playing WildStar, I was kind of wishing I was playing WoW. So I don't know what that says. That could, like I said, just be me. Try it, open beta. It's like 20 gigs. Download it. See for yourself, man, because that's what I mean. I know what my taste is, but what is there is good. Don't get me wrong. WildStar is good, not my cup of tea. So there's WildStar. Let's see. The one game I have been playing a whole bunch of, oh my god, like my eyes crossed just thinking about it, is Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. Man, oh man, oh man. I can't remember where I was last time I talked to you guys. I think I was just, I either like just hit level 70 or I was getting to level 70 and I was doing Act 5 or something like that. But now I'm level 70. I'm 42 levels into Paragon, which is all the levels afterwards, and they go up to infinity. Like, there's no limit on your Paragon level. I know some of my friends on my friends list have, like, a Paragon level of 400. You know, these people are fucking legit. But yeah, I checked my time played, and I've played Diablo 3 for 120 hours. And no lie, I bet 40 hours have been this past week. Game is real good. The bounties, the Nephilim Rifts, that saved the game. Oh my god, it's so good. Nephilim Rifts are kind of hard mode dungeons to where you just go kill everything, and then once you kill a certain amount of creatures, a boss elite monster spawns, and you kill that. Drops good loot, tons of money, a lot of things you can sell, a lot of materials for crafting. They can range anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour, and they're pretty difficult. There's a ton of elite monsters, multiple elite monsters at a time, which normally you don't see in quests. Normally, whenever you get a quest or a bounty, it's like, go kill so-and-so. And you'll go and you'll kill a few rare mobs, you know, blues or something, and then you'll see the one purple elite mob, and then you'll kill that, and then that'll be the end of your quest. You'll get, like, 2,000 XP or whatever. But with Nephilim Rifts, anything can happen. You could go into a Nephilim Rift, and it's nothing but treasure goblins. To where you're killing 30 treasure goblins and you get nothing but gold and prizes and all that shit, and then a boss comes and just whoops your ass. Or it could be something to where it's all creatures from Act 1, but you need to kill 700 of them. You know, there's just a little meter on the side that shows how many monsters you've killed and how many you have to go before the boss spawns. So the Nephilim Rifts do that, and they're kind of the hard mode type of deal, but then your bounties can be anything. Your bounties can be, hey, go kill 200 things on the plains of whatever. So you'd warp there and you go kill 200 deals, you get 3 million XP, you level up. So it's just a ton of variety, a ton to do. The great thing about bounties is they change every single time you log out of the game. So they refresh themselves. So I could do, if I had 10 minutes to spare, I could log in, do 2 bounties, log out. And no harm, no foul, right? That's not a big commitment. It's like bite-sized chunks of Diablo. But you can also go through every single act. Every single act has 5 bounties. So you can do 25 bounties in one sitting if you want to, gain 2 or 3 levels. Then you can log out, log back in, it refreshes all of them, and you can do it all over again. It always drops loot. Just everything I like about Diablo is just personified in these. It's basically everything condensed into a perfect bite-sized chunk. So no matter how you like to play Diablo, bounties and Nephilim Rifts, they do it. And I will say that if you're looking for an action RPG, kind of a click, 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 hack and slash, I will go on record right now to say Diablo 3 is the best one ever made. It went from my most disappointing game of all time to the best action RPG ever made. How the fuck did that happen? Like, what happened? Oh, I'm so happy. Diablo's back, man. Oh my god, it's back. See, some more games I played. Age of Mythology HD came out yesterday. Age of Mythology is one of the best RTSs ever made. Came out in 2002, I think. So it's really good to see it get the HD treatment. It has Steam achievements. It has Twitch TV streaming. So once I get a better computer, I could probably actually Twitch stream how bad I am at the game. But I just love those Ensemble Studios RTSs. Your Age of Empires 2, Age of Mythology. Just that era of stuff like Rise of Legends, Rise of Empires. All those are great. You know, your base building, Warcraft 3, Warcraft 2. You know, your base building, you're collecting wood, you're collecting gold, you're collecting food. You're building up your stuff, you're building up your army, you're going out and you're exploring the map. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And Age of Mythology is one of the best. The difference between Age of Empires and Age of Mythology. Age of Mythology, as you could guess, you can control people like Odin, Thor, Loki, you can, all sort of, like, Celtic, mythology, Norse mythology, Greek mythology, just really cool stuff. Like, there's a favor, deal where, a favor resource to where if you pray at temples, you get more favor. Depending on the favor, you can unlock deals for your, mythological unit. Just awesome, rad stuff, man. And just so cool. It has all the expansions all built in. A lot of fun. I think it's like $30, which might be a little pricey, especially if you can find Age of Mythology Gold at Walmart for like $9 on CD. But you got Steam achievements, you got HD, you got Twitch streaming, you got, I think it has like friend support, it has all sorts of cool little bells and whistles. And it has Steam Workshop integration. Don't forget that either. So you can custom make content. So now it's open source, basically. Pretty excited. Speaking of open source, Unreal Tournament yesterday just got the big announcement that it's going fully free. The next Unreal Tournament will be free. Not free to play, free. It will be open source. It will be, I see it being a lot like Quake 3, Quake 3 Live. But even without, like, the ads, the banner ads and stuff, this, from what I understand, totally free. The way that they're going to pay for it is there's going to be a marketplace where you can download map packs and things like that. And it'll all be made by the community. The community will be able to rate on things. So basically, it'll be its own version of Steam Workshop, but with just the new Unreal Tournament, which is so exciting. So expect to see remakes of Morpheus. Expect to see remakes of, the space level with the two towers. I can't think of what it's called. It might just be called Towers. I don't know. Just awesome. Awesome, awesome. Unreal Tournament 2004 is one of my favorite games ever. So a fully free, open source, moddable Unreal Tournament just puts a big smile on my face. So I just wanted to give that a shout out. See, Tales of Symphonia HD. The Tales of Symphonia Chronicles, actually. I know this past week was Golden Week on PlayStation Network. And they had some ridiculously good sales on there. A lot of Japanese games were 50 to 75% off. So Tales of Symphonia Chronicles, I downloaded for $19.99. Came with Tales of Symphonia HD and Tales of Symphonia Dawn of the New World. Which, I guess, I've never played that one. Its reviews are kind of in the 70s range, saying, it's okay, it's not as good as Tales of Symphonia. It's a decent follow-up, but it has, like, monster collecting and things like that. But hell, for $19 for both games, I'm super excited. I'm about 10 hours into Tales of Symphonia. I love that game. I remember, I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, surprise, surprise, and talk about one of my favorite gaming memories ever. I grew up in Georgia, and I moved to Georgia whenever I was about 4 years old, and lived there until I was 14. So, you know, about 10, 11 years, lived in Georgia, lived on the coast, beautiful part of the state. I'm actually going to that part of the state later this month. Just gorgeous. And, you know, grew up there, and we had EB Games and some Babbages and stuff, but I got a lot of my games from Kmart, whenever Kmart was a thing. You remember that? Kmart, that's also where there's a grocery store called Publix. I don't know if that's still a thing. Someone from the East Coast, or East and West Coast, like, mail me, you know, Twitter me, tell me if Publix is still a thing. Publix is where I would go and actually buy video game magazines, demo discs, things like that. You could also rent movies. You could do things like that. So, you know, I got all my games for Windows magazines. Back then it was Computer Gaming World. Got EGM. But I remember being so excited, probably when I was, God, what year was it? It was whatever year Tales of Symphonia came out. Because there was a game store called Rhino Games. And it was sort of a vintage stock slash Babbages slash Games and Things slash Hastings. It was just a cool place. Like, they had import games. They didn't do game rentals, but you could rent systems. Like, it was a cool place, right? But they were the only store that was going to get Tales of Symphonia. And I had my GameCube, and I love the Tales series. I love Tales of Phantasia. And I remember getting there the minute they opened at Rhino Games, and I saw the cardboard box sitting on their shelf, and it had Tales of Symphonia in it, and went in, bought it straight cash. The box was so heavy, the instruction book was so thick, and put Tales of Symphonia in my GameCube. Loved every second of it. So Tales of Symphonia HD is bringing a big smile to my face. I love it. Got PlayStation trophies. So much fun. It's just a nostalgia kick. It's one of the best Tales games. I think Tales of Vesperia is the best Tales game. I wish that would get a PlayStation 3 launch, but Tales of Symphonia is not far behind. So do yourself a favor. If it's still Golden Week right now, go get it. But that game by itself, Tales of Symphonia HD, by itself is $19.99. So if you're in the mood for a brilliant Japanese role-playing game, and you got a PlayStation 3, do yourself a favor. If you've never played Tales of Symphonia, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. So good. Oh, I'm going to play it after I get done putting this up online. Oh, man, so many games. But now, the big moment. The big moment. Here's where I get to do my shout-out to Marco Flores. My big moment, man. I got myself a Kindle. Kindle Fire HD. The 7-inch screen, 8 gig. I could have got the 16 gig, but I mainly got the Kindle because I wanted to start reading. You know, I have books. I collect books. Got all sorts of editions of Lord of the Rings. Got Altered Carbon. Love my Richard K. Morgan. You know, Eric Victorino. I'm looking at some of my books right now. I got a ton of Warcraft books, of course, because I'm a nerd. But yeah, like, just, and my girlfriend's a big fan of reading. She reads all the time. She's getting me back into reading, which I love. I haven't read for enjoyment in a while, but the Kindle is making it really easy to do. A lot of $1.99, 99 cent novellas, you know, things like that. And of course, I have a wish list full of Warcraft books and, you know, even Diablo stuff, and just exciting, you know, put my Amazon wish list up there. But the reason why, one of the nice little benefits about the Kindle Fire HD is it's an Android device that can actually play games. I say that because my phone is an Android device, and it is a piece of fucking garbage. It's this LG View that I got. I'm on Virgin Mobile, and this phone I straight up bought, straight cash, $80. It's an $80 phone, and it plays games like an $80 phone. I'll put it that way. I think it runs Gingerbread or something. That's the OS it runs. So it's okay, but the screen's like 2 inches by 4 inches. Super small. But the Kindle Fire HD, big screen, super fast, Wi-Fi. And big shout out to Marco Flores. The reason why is I asked for some good games to play on the Kindle Fire HD, some good Android games. He gave me a list, and I downloaded every single one, and they're all fucking amazing. So big shout out, like Slingshot Braves. We got Quiz RPG, Another Case Solved. Another Case Solved is a lot of fun. It's a cool detective game. You don't really do a lot of detective work, but it's just a collection of puzzles. It's almost like a Match 3 mixed with, you know, touch the screen, find the difference. Just really cool little brain teaser type deals. And has funny Sims talk, like all the characters, brr, 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 brr. So that was funny. But something I'm really big on right now is Brave Frontier. I heard a lot about it. Marco Flores, actually, for his website, Nerd in the Bay. Big shout out to Nerd in the Bay. Awesome site. They did a little quick look deal of Brave Frontier, and it got me interested. And I tried to download it on my phone, and my phone's a piece of garbage, as we've already established. So not very fun. On the Kindle, though, it's beautiful. Huge screen, a lot of fun. I'm playing it every single day, and it's so much fun. Did that. I think I got Pocket Legends, which is an MMO, and it's a fun little MMO. It's kind of difficult, but I think it's difficult because of touch screen stuff. You actually have to run and touch on the person and or touch on your enemy, and then, you know, you have your spells on the side, but then they do a lot of damage to you and, like, armor and things like that. You know, it has all the MMO deals, but it does the really cool instance thing of having other players be in your party automatically. almost like Rift or something like that, which makes things a lot easier. And you share quests. So, hey, go collect 10 of these. Well, if someone collects one, it counts one for you as well. So that's nice. It adds a nice little deal, and it's easy to add friends, stuff like that. So a lot of stuff going on right there. And also Wrestling and Booking Revolution. I'm so bad at them, but yeah, Booking Revolution is probably my favorite. You actually run a wrestling federation. You get to control some of the matches. You get to book the cards. You get to do all that. So every nerd wrestling fantasy I have. It's just all there. But yeah, a lot of fun. I'm still taking recommendations, man. Any cool Kindle or Android games. I'm waiting for later this summer. I think they're going to put Hearthstone, the Blizzard, Warcraft, trading card game, which I play Hearthstone, but if I have it on my Android, or on my Kindle rather, man, I'll be playing that all the time. But yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun stuff. Love my Kindle. Love it, love it, love it. But that's it, man. I know we kind of talked a lot about a lot. But yeah, got a Kindle, played some WildStar, playing a lot of Diablo 3, talked some wrestling, Tales of Symphonia, Age of Mythology, just a lot going on. So much going on. And yeah, so I told you I had a good reason that the show was late, right? Playing all this stuff, have to talk to you guys about it. But thank you, of course, for the questions. Couldn't do this show without you. Love you guys to death. Check out NitroBeer.com. Free to play is creeping on episode 100, man. They're at episode 77 is the newest. So yeah, they're almost there. They're almost to episode 100 of free to play. Man, I remember episode 100 of the Beardcast. Ah, memories. But yeah, check out NitroBeard. Of course, add us all on Twitter. Add me on Twitter, CommieDaHobo. See me on Facebook. Like NitroBeard on Facebook. Send me some questions. I'd love to hear from you guys. Tell me how the show's doing. All sorts of good stuff. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, be sure to power up. Everybody knows. I'm a motherfucking nerd. Everybody know I'm a motherfucking nerd.